Monsignor Anthony Figueiredo can offer us a thought for reflection on how to enter into the Lenten season. He's an official at the Pope's charity office, Cor Unum.
It's something of a school of faith. It's a journey, it's a spiritual journey, where we're taken into the desert. And certainly in the desert, one normally doesn't find a large, clamorous group of people. The reason that the Lord takes us into the desert, the scripture tells us, is in order that we know what is truly in our hearts. And so often when we're surrounded by a lot of noise, we don't have that time really to put ourselves before our life, our reality, and before the Lord. And so there is this need for silence. There is this real need for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus came to do. He didn't simply come for the numbers. He came for each person. Each person, Pope Benedict told us in his inaugural homily when he was elected Pope, is necessary, is willed by God, and is loved by God. And God doesn't see us as masses of people. He sees us as individuals. And this time of Lent, the focus of God is upon each one of us as an individual.
In the Gospel reading for Ash Wednesday, we are called to be discreet in our witness to Christ, not to be showy or boastful of our faith or actions. Why?
The important thing is when we fast, when we give alms, when we pray, is our motivation. We do this for love of God and for love of neighbor. And so very often we're tempted to do these things for the wrong motivations. This is why Jesus says that it's necessary to fast, to pray, to give alms. Really, that the praise is not for myself. It's in order to open my heart to God and to my neighbor. And this has the lasting effect. I mean, there is a reward to our fasting, our prayer, our almsgiving. And the reward is both in the giving, and also the reward will come from the Lord, who sees everything that is done in secret, as we are told in today's Gospel, in the Gospel of Ash Wednesday, and will reward you. I mean, I would much rather prefer a reward from the Lord than from a human being, because I know it will be much greater and much longer lasting. That's the reason he invites us to be discreet about our witness. And I think that's really important, Tracy. You know, I work a lot with the Sisters of Mother Teresa here in Rome, and their witness is often hidden. It's discreet. But I see that perhaps it has more effect than those things which are done with great noise and clamor and publicity. This is why Jesus invites us to discretion.
The Gospel reading on this day outlines several things that we are encouraged to do during Lent. Traditionally, good deeds or charity, prayer and fasting. How can these actually help us prepare for Easter?
Lent is a school of faith. It's these 40 days. So it's an itinerary. Why 40 days, first of all? Because 40 is symbolic of this journey. You know, it was 40 days that humanity was submerged in the floods, and Noah took us out, came out of the ark, and a new creation began. It was 40 days that Moses fasted and prayed on Mount Sinai. The people of Israel were 40 years in the desert before entering the Promised Land. Jesus himself, 40 days and nights, was fasting. So these three elements, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, prepare us to this great night of Easter, that we make room for God. Room for God. they're linked very much to the three temptations of Jesus, because a man, to learn that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God, I understand that there is something beyond just filling my belly, if you like. To pray, to stop, to pray, to put myself before the Lord, says to me that the world will continue even if I'm not there to sort out all its problems, and it may even continue better. And to give alms is also very important, because when Jesus, the devil, tempted him to bow down before all the idols of the world, very often we think that our life comes from certain idols of the world, particularly money, success, prestige, security. And Jesus says, when we give alms, we begin to realize that the real joy in Christianity is giving, not receiving, not hoarding. Also gives us wisdom, gives us wisdom. This is why we begin Ash Wednesday with ashes, and with those words, remember you are dust, and to dust you will return, or turn away from sin and believe in the gospel. Why? Because our life is passing away. And what's the point of hoarding in this world for things which we must leave? We have eternity to play for. And the great night of Easter, the vigil of Easter, is a foretaste of that eternal life. This is why it's called the night of nights. In the Easter Preconium, we will sing, this is the night which dispels darkness, wipes sin away, brings joy to mourners. This is what we all long for, but we will reap, Tracy, what we sow. And this is the adventure, the joy of these 40 days. The more I give of myself, the more I receive. It's an adventure that we are invited to enter into.
You mentioned the imposition of the ashes on the foreheads of the faithful during Ash Wednesday. That's a powerful symbol. It's also an ancient one that goes back, I think, to the very earliest times of the church. Can you tell me more about that particular symbolism and others in the liturgy of Ash Wednesday?
Well, these ashes, which are obviously from the burned palms of the year before, the symbolism is very clear. The one who wishes to receive these ashes will come before the priest, and the priest, without expecting any response from that person, will simply say, you are dust, and to dust you will return, or repent and believe in the good news. Why? Why? Because a rabbi, there's a story of a rabbi who said that if a beggar were to come before the king, and he hadn't eaten for 3 days, and he just appeared in rags and tatters, he would not have to say anything to the king. The king, just seeing him, would understand that that man was in need. His condition would be his cry for help. And it's the same with us when we come before the priest and these ashes are literally rubbed into our proud heads. It's our cry for help that I really wish to enter into this time of conversion. I realize that I have lived for myself. I realize that I have bowed down to the idols of the world. I realize that I have not loved my neighbor, not loved God. And this time, now I want to turn back to the Lord. So these ashes recall, yes, our mortality. They recall that I am not God of my life. But they also recall that God truly wants to help me.
Are there any other symbols in this particular liturgy that cry out to us?
Well, I certainly think the great silence. I mean, there's a simplicity to the liturgy. I often go here in Rome to Santa Sabina, where the Holy Father has that procession from San Anselmo to Santa Sabina upon the Aventine Hill. And even that procession is solemn. I mean, there are, obviously there's chants, but there's something very solemn and recalling to us that this is a serious time. There's a serious time to put myself before God and before my neighbor. And it opens up for us then these 40 days of journeying. So the main symbol is obviously the ashes, but the readings themselves. The first reading says, repent. This is a time, a favorable time. It's a favorable time that is given to us once a year. God is calling us to this appointment with Him. The second reading says to us, repent. St. Paul is saying to us, repent. Actually, repentance is a good news. It's not a bad news, because it's saying to us that God is waiting for us. And the gospel itself is saying to us, fast, pray, give alms. The word of God is put before us, saying that God wants to give us grace in this period, truly to enter into this great season of Lent.
Monsignor Anthony Figueredo is an official with the Pope's Charity Office, Cor Unum.